Have you ever been tempted to give up or check out in your walk with God? Have you been at a place in life's journey where you felt overwhelmed and overshadowed by life's obstacles, setbacks, or heartaches? It could be you're at such a place right now, a place where you are hungering for hope. If so, then Hope Along the Journey podcast is a ministry of encouragement created specifically with you and others just like you in mind. And now, here is your host, Mark Cravens, to share a word of encouragement with you today.
Thank you so much for joining us today on this episode of Hope Along the Journey. Hi, I'm Mark Cravens, and I'm your host, and it's always such a delight to have you with us these next few minutes as we share together words of hope and encouragement and point people to Jesus Christ, who is truly the hope of the world. Today, we have a very special guest, and that is Karen Whiting. Karen, welcome to today's episode of Hope Along the Journey.
Thanks for having me on, Mark.
It's so good to have you, and we're going to be introducing you a little more here in a little while. I've got Karen on today. She's an author, and we'll be talking more about her background here in a little bit. But this is Mother's Day week that we're airing this, and so we wanted to do something very special for all the moms out there. And I just want to say to all of you moms who listen how much I deeply appreciate you listening to Hope Along the Journey on a regular basis. I'd like to encourage you to go to our website. If you haven't visited our website at Hope Along the Journey, that's hopealongthejourney.org. And when you get to the website, there will be a pop-up screen that'll say Stay in Touch. Love to have you fill that out and give us your email address so we can put you on our Hope Along the Journey newsletter that will be coming out here in the month of May. Also, we'd like for you to connect with us on social media, on Facebook or Instagram. Just look up Hope Along the Journey and you'll find us on both of those social media venues. Or if you're on LinkedIn and would like to just connect with me, just look me up, Mark L. Cravens, and you'll find me there. And we would love to connect with you. I want to thank those of you who have taken the time to send me a note through an instant messenger or through an email or some other way. I really do appreciate your feedback, and I want to thank you for it. If you are listening and you know a mom out there who needs some encouragement on this Mother's Day, then why don't you share this episode of Hope Along the Journey with a friend? Again, it's great to have Karen Whiting with us today. Karen is an international speaker, a former television host, and an award-winning author of more than 30 books for women, children, families, and even the military. She has a heart to help families thrive and build strong, wholesome bonds. And your husband was in the Coast Guard, so you are a Coast Guard wife. That's fascinating.
Yes, that's right.
And which you live near the water most of the time. That would make sense.
I still do. Yes.
She currently is a widow, mother of five, including two rocket scientists, and she says that is for real. And a grandmother, how many did you say, 15 now, Karen?
Yes.
Wow, that's incredible. So she likes adventure. And when I was reading your bio, Karen, this was fascinating to me, that you have even ridden a camel in the Canary Islands. You have whitewater rafted in Australia. You've ridden horseback in the ocean in Jamaica and even enjoyed scuba diving off the coast of Bermuda. Wow, you have lived a pretty full and exciting life.
It's been fun.
Yeah, and you've spoken in even places like Russia and Malaysia. So, wow, just to have you on the episode today, this Mother's Day episode, is quite an honor, Karen. Thank you for being willing to join me.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Well, today we want to talk about some things in regards to mothers and mothering. And so my first question I'm going to ask you is this. As a mother, because I know moms who feel like this, did you ever feel like that you would ever get beyond those years when you were tired and exhausted? And you got my daughter, who has two little girls, says, sometimes I just wish they knew something else besides mama, 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 mama. Did you ever feel like you weren't going to outgrow that stage?
There were a couple of stages. That diaper stage, you do feel like you're in it forever. And then when I realized I actually had 22 straight years of teenagers because of the age spread of my children, I thought I never would get beyond teens.
Which one was harder? Can I ask you that? Which was easier and which one was more difficult?
Well, changing diapers and the little ones, they need you so much constantly. It's weary on the body, you know, the energy. Mm-hmm. Teenagers is a little more wearying on the heart and the mind as you're wondering, Absolutely. Are they going to do okay? Mm-hmm. Are they going to be home safe?
Yeah. Yeah. And they don't get it, do they? Because they're feeling so they feel like they're indispensable. They feel like they're immortal. And it's like, what are you worrying about? You know, why? But yeah, I can remember watching the clock to make sure they were going to get in time. So, you know, moms face struggles every day, struggles that we as dads don't face. It's different. It's unique. But they also experience some great joys. What would you say, Karen, are some of those joys that mothers get to experience?
You know, those first steps, the smiles, the first words and things. And in fact, sometimes waiting for those first words. My rocket scientist sons talk the latest. They were 2.5 before they talked. So they talked in full sentences. And my son, Michael, when they were sled riding, my husband was pulling them on a sled and Michael fell off. And Jim really took off with just James on the sled. And Michael stands, puts his hands on his thighs and yells at the top of his lungs, "Hey, Dad, what's the big idea?" Dad stopped in his tracks. I stopped and thought, he spoke.
Those were his first words. Oh, that's hilarious.
Those were his first words. I mean, it was really funny that once in a while we would try to say book or something, but that was really at the start of his talking. And it was just so funny. But you don't forget those things.
No, you don't.
Those are such great memories and joys that you can look back and still laugh at and still smile about.
You get to witness a lot of those firsts, and those are things that memories you treasure forever, don't you?
You do. And then there's that time when they get older that one or more of the children will come back to you and say, "Hey, Mom, thanks. You did a good job." You know, it's rare.
That has to be rewarding, doesn't it? Yeah. At some point, yes. They grow up and realize, you know, I think for my daughters, of course, you mentioned earlier, you know, I have four daughters. I think for those of my daughters that have children, it's when they started having children, especially, it's like, "Wow, Mom, how did you do this?" You know, and they realize then how much goes in to motherhood. I'm just always amazed, Karen. I am. It's just like God gives mothers strength that we dads don't have. I mean, I don't know how they do it, how they accomplish all that they accomplish, but it is truly amazing. We talked about the joys, Karen, but what are some of the tough struggles that mothers often face?
Well, the struggles can be the comparison that goes in your mind that you have to say, "I'm not comparing. Right. I don't have to worry if they're not talking. I know they understand me." You have the struggles of when an earthquake happens or a hurricane Cat 4 comes and your husband's away, that you've got to get through that with your children. And I had to do that. Now, most people don't have all the natural disasters I have faced in my life. An incredible number of them, but there are other storms, just the lightning, the breaking down of things that all of a sudden you've got water all over the floor because the hose on the washer popped out and your children didn't bother to tell you. They just sat there watching TV or doing something else, playing a game. Yeah. And so there are those struggles. Couldn't you just tell me at least instead of putting your feet up?
Yeah, or getting in the middle of it and playing in it, think suddenly we got a swimming pool here in the kitchen, right?
Oh, yes. And then when they're young, there's also the temper tantrums that can happen when you're not at home or you go to some special event and your child gets sick right in the middle of everything, you know?
Yeah,
things that you can't control. Your child can't always control. And you just have to deal with that with a smile and just love on them anyways.
And you know, you talked about comparison a while ago. I guess it's something I can't quite understand, so maybe you can help me understand a little bit. But I sense this with my own daughters and talking to my wife and then listening to other ladies here, like in my congregation. There's a lot of struggle with comparing, with mothers comparing themselves to other mothers. Or, you know, there's like this comparing your children to their children and your mothering to their style of mothering. Do you see, I wonder why that is? Do you have any idea why that is or how that works among ladies?
Well, it's somewhat of a natural competitive thing in them, but there's also underlying it a little concern. Mm-hmm. Is my child really okay? And am I an okay mom? Mm-hmm. Am I doing it all right? And you have to sit back and say, if I'm doing it with God, I'm doing it all right. And my child will do what they're supposed to do at the right time. Mm-hmm. And you even have children who compare themselves to their siblings. My younger daughter hated being between two boys who became rocket scientists because she'd get in the classroom and they go, oh, you're a whitey. And she'd say, I'm not like them. Because she didn't like that comparison. They would just expect her to be at the same level. And she said, why can't it be that smart? And I said, do you want to be a doctor, a rocket scientist or something? She says, oh, no, I don't want to do that. And I said, well, you know what? They do. And so they need those brains. You just need the joy and the brains you do have. Mm-hmm. So you have to work with them, but you also have to work within your own heart to say, mm-hmm. it's okay.
Right. Yeah, that's great. And that's great advice because it is that comparison. I think it could be, and you're right. It may very well be part of that is the fact that moms want to do a good job. And that question is, am I doing an okay job at this?
Yes. And you get a fail.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you get a principal calling you, a teacher, say something went wrong, and you think, oh, no, I failed. They get a bad grade on a test, and sometimes you think, I didn't help them enough. And instead of sitting back and saying, it's okay, failure is not the end of the world on one test.
Absolutely. That's good, and that's great advice. You said something or sent me something that I was looking over in some of the notes that you sent me prior to this time together, and you said that young children see every day as an adventure. How can moms enjoy? I just have to laugh because that's so true. They see every day as an adventure. So how can moms enjoy the journey with them?
Well, first of all, don't be glued to those devices you have. You know, when mine were younger, I didn't have so many devices. Mm-hmm. And make sure you are watching and you're seeing through their eyes, mm-hmm. that when they laugh at something that happens, I can remember a child crawling and just hitting into a couch and I had to pick them up and turn them and they just giggled. You know, it was like they didn't realize because they hadn't yet learned to turn, but it was just an adventure. They were just going to plow ahead and try to get where they wanted to go.
Yeah, it's so funny.
You know, or going outside and they could just laugh at a leaf falling and, mm-hmm. and just be in wonder at that type of thing. And we're there thinking, oh, I got to rake all these leaves. And so we have to just pause and look it through their eyes because they really do. And if you will enjoy it with them, they will keep loving life.
Yeah, and I think that's, I think sometimes especially for some mothers, it's hard for them to enter into the adventure because they feel like they have to get all the stuff done around the house. You know, they've got to keep the house looking just so-so, and they have to, you know, and you've got the washing, the ironing, the house cleaning and all of that, that it almost makes, I think some moms feel like they don't have time to play with their kids.
Well, I did enlist my children pretty quickly on helping me. And that does help. But I also had to say, I just want to play at times. So, mm-hmm. you know, I felt if you can take the blocks out of the container, you can put the blocks back in the container. And if you don't pick things up, it's going to go in a garbage bag and go, it'll either go away or go in a closet until mm-hmm. you can pick more things up. And that quickly turned them around. So I just sort of used my own logic on how to help things not be so messy and not to have too much out. I could alternate all these toys because when you have five children,
absolutely.
That's a lot of toys.
Yeah.
And they don't need them all at the same time.
They think they do, don't they, Karen?
They certainly do.
Oh, when my grandkids come, it's like they got to dump every toy in the living room. They got to drag them all out, every toy nearly out of the toy box and put it at one time in the living room. Now, of course, I understand with being grandpa, it's a little different. But yeah, when you're mom and you're trying to raise these kids, I could see where it'd be so important to teach them. And again, that's part of the learning process, isn't it?
It is, and it's part of being disciplined and disciplining your children to train them because you need to make sure they understand they have some responsibility so they will keep taking responsibility as they grow up. I can remember I was really happy one day when my son Michael said, oh, I said to both him and his friend Ben that it's time to clean up because Ben's mom's going to be here in a little while. And Michael said, I'll tell you what, Mom, can I clean it up after he leaves? And we can play a little longer. And I thought, well, that's great. He wants to do it all. And he's willing to say that. So I said, that's great. I came back an hour or so to look at him because I was off with the other kids. And he hadn't cleaned anything up. And I said, Michael, you haven't cleaned anything up. You said you wouldn't. He says, after isn't over. I wanted to laugh, but I said, after just ended.
Is this one of the rocket scientists now?
Yeah, it is.
That is an incredible answer. After isn't over yet. Oh, that's good.
That's so true for moms. After isn't over. It's never over for us.
Yeah.
We're parents forever for them.
Yeah. You know, which brings up a topic I hear women say, mothers say, a woman's work is never done. How do you deal with that fact that you really never get it all done in a day's time? How do you learn to deal with that and cope with that? And yet
change. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You change your expectations. You say, this is what I need to get done today, and that'll be okay. And this is what I need to get done on a different day. And you don't try to do it all every day. You have to just change those expectations. And my house really was quite neat. And there were certain rooms that the children couldn't bring the toys into and dump them, so I could have people come in and sit down, and it would be nice. And they learned those rules. If you set up rules, they know them.
Yeah.
And that's what I would do. But I would engage them in everything. Mm-hmm. They could cook with me. And when they got older, they cooked a meal every week. They could, you know, help with the cleaning the house, washing floors, whatever. And then we'd all enjoy a treat together, whether it was an adventure of going canoeing or whatever it was that we were going to do. So that I explained to them, it's all being part of the family. We work together, we play together. And they always liked having that we play together time.
Yes.
And always having at least one evening that it was playtime when Dad was home with Dad too. Game night, play night, whatever.
Mm-hmm. That brings up another subject, because to me, this is one of the problems of our current time, and that is that families are not truly spending family time together. Now, that's family spending family time together, in my mind, is not the same as just all of us being present in one room, but everybody truly being present in one room, if you understand what I'm saying. Do you think there are challenges today, and what in regards to real family time, and what are some of those challenges, or maybe what are some of the things that families could start doing to really start putting together? Because I think quality time is so important. You even talked about meal time, and
yes.
So give me some feedback on that. What would you be some ideas? What do you see as some threats that are going on to families really spending time together?
Well, the biggest threat is we don't put a priority on family time. Instead, we want our children to do dance, scouts, and swimming, and all sorts of things, and put them in every kind of lesson there is. They don't have to take them all at once. They can take them over, you know, there's different seasons of the year, there's different years to try things. If there's something they really want to continue, that's fine. And we don't have to be that scheduled either. And we have to start scheduling time on our calendars. We get into what I call time debt because we overschedule, and we overschedule our children. We need to pull back on that and say, so Friday nights was our family night of game night or movie night or whatever we were going to do together. And Dad would make a big thing of popcorn when he was home. And that made a difference. And I know my daughter Darlene with her five children, Friday night is movie night for them. Either that or Saturday night, and the other night's usually a game night. And when they come here from Tennessee to Florida, the other cousins come over that are here, and we have lots of game time for a couple of days. And everyone has a great time playing together. And those who aren't playing in the board games and stuff are off playing with other things, or maybe in the kitchen helping me cook. And that's what we need to be doing. But we have to make an effort to do that.
How much is social media, how much are our phones, our tablets, how much do you see that as being something that is really invading into our family times, and how can we maybe cope or deal with that? Because I recently was out with a family, people that I hadn't seen for some time, and I sat there in the restaurant and looked around, and every one of the family members were on their phone and not talking. And here I was sitting there, and I'm looking around, and they're all on their mobile devices. Nobody is really conversing.
Yes, and we have to stop that. In my home, before we even had the mobile phones, except for Dad having one, we didn't even answer our phone if it rang during dinner, because that was our time for meals. And I said, why do you think we paid for an answering machine but to let that happen? I can remember friends coming over and almost getting antsy because the phone was ringing and we were not answering it. Mm-hmm. And we said, we'll call them back. But right now, everyone here at this table is more important. And we need to say that. We need to mean it. And we need to put away those devices. I know people who have places where the devices go mm-hmm. before they sit down to eat or before they sit to play together. And I think we have to do it because it shows the priority yeah. that we have on our loved ones and in being in the moment with them.
Yeah. And Karen, that's great advice. But I think it's also great advice for even parents and adults, because a lot of parents and adults are just as captive to that phone as what their teenage son or daughter would be. And I see that as a yes. problem too. I mean, we as adults need to kind of lead the charge in this, because I see a lot of adults who just, you go out to dinner with somebody and it's like nobody can lay that thing down for the mealtime. It is a challenge, isn't it?
It is. And there's times when I will look at my phone when I'm out in case mm-hmm. there's some emergency, but I don't want to pick it up and I don't want to use it unless I really have to. But that helps. And that's where we go back to conversing. And I find people who are doing this all the time have trouble conversing.
That's interesting.
They can't continue those conversations because they're used to being interrupted and just a little call here and a text there and things going on yeah. all at the time. And mm-hmm. we're causing us to be almost ADD, even if we haven't been. Mm-hmm.
That's good advice. And I think you're absolutely right. So support from moms. So a lot of moms feel like I'm alone. How do moms find support? What are ways that they can find the support they need and feel accepted and feel like they belong to something? Where did you find a sense of support through those years of mothering?
A lot of support can come from family. And I had that even when we weren't close together, we could still talk on the phone. Now you can Zoom. But also with joining groups, with joining a babysitting co-op so I could meet other moms, with joining a play group, with joining a mom's group or a group at your church. And I think you need to do that. When your children are a little bit older, you're going to meet them just because they have a friend they want to play with, and you get to meet them through their school, their homeschool group, wherever they're at, mm-hmm. or their sporting events, mm-hmm. and making sure that you're willing to say hello. Yeah. There are some people who are just so shy. They're afraid of being rejected. We have to get over that and say, it's healthy for us. I need to say hello. If that person doesn't want to say hello back today, maybe they will tomorrow, but there are other people around. I can look around. I can find someone else to say hello to, because we need to understand we need that social interaction with other moms.
That's great. Well, that brings me to another subject too, and that is the seasoned mother, the mom that has maybe now got her children pretty well raised. How can these moms come alongside these struggling moms and partner with them and help them? What are ways that they can be a blessing to young mothers?
Yeah, they can mentor them a bit. They can invite them over. They can, if they're willing to, mm-hmm. offer to watch a child when that mom has to go to the doctors or something and they know they can't do it. I had those kind of moms around me, especially when we were in military housing and things. The older moms understood. They were wonderful. And when you're at church, you can see the mom who never has the dad with her. and the children may be climbing all over the pews, you can have something with you that you can just hand them to help calm that child down, talk to them afterwards. Moms usually feel embarrassed. And when I've done something like that and they turn to me after and said, I'm so sorry. I said, I'm a mom of five. And they go, oh, then you understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what they want to hear, that they realize, you know what it's like. And they just want to hear that, those comforting words, and just start with just encouraging a mom, just the smiles, the
that's
saying something
advice.
To them after church about your children are so precocious and so cute. And they'll say, oh, they're a handful. And I'll say, yeah, I get that too. But you know, we all go through it and they grow up too fast.
Yeah. And I watch that, even that dynamic here at the church where I pastor, and I see where sometimes, you know, especially if a mom's got a small child and a toddler, you know, I see that sense of relief when somebody steps up and says, here, let me hold the baby, or here, let me take, you know, the toddler. And next thing you know, and you can just see that sense of relief wash over that mom, that somebody is just stepping in to give a little bit of reprieve. And it's amazing, as I've watched it, that there's key moms who will help other mothers, you know, older women who will just step in, and it kind of becomes a way for them to bond friendships with that yes. younger mother as well. So that's great.
Because some of them are afraid, who can I trust this person? Is it okay? And so those little engagements, interactions before it gets bigger, helps them have that relief and that sense that it's going to be okay. I can trust you.
And you can never encourage young mothers enough, can you? They need lots of encouragement.
Yes, they do, because they get concerned. I have a granddaughter who now has a child, and she'll text me all the time. Well, he's not crawling yet, or he's not doing this, or whatever is happening with him. She was adopted, and she didn't grow up in a, you know, she was adopted when she was older, and she'd been in all these foster care things, so she didn't have that whole family setting. And she had a baby very early because she wanted her real own family.
Yeah.
And met a very nice man, so that's been good. But, you know, I just have to calm her down a lot of times and say, it's all right. And listen, this is what your mom did, or this is what your uncle did.
Yeah.
And she'll just laugh and say, okay, I guess it's all right then. And they just do need that assurance.
Well, Karen, it's been a joy talking to you. Before we wrap it up here, just would like for you to share, where can people get your books? Where's your web? Tell people about your website or how they can reach you, especially this book, Growing a Mother's Heart. Tell us a little bit about how they can get your materials.
My books are sold wherever books are sold because of the publishers that I have. And they go to my website, Karen with a K, Whiting, WHITING.com. And right at the top, there's even a mom quiz that if they take that, they get a lot of free information and downloads that are more specific to however their test, their little quiz came out. It targets the need that they may have at that time, then go back and take a different time and go to a different aspect of that quiz results. So those are probably the best ways. And from there, right on that page, you can link to my Facebook and Pinterest and my other social media. And my social media right now, it always has some crafts, some mom tips and things like that, and some scriptures that moms can really enjoy.
Well, thank you, Karen. Appreciate you being with us today on this episode of Hope Along the Journey. And thank you, friends, today for listening. And to all you mothers, again, we wish you a happy Mother's Day. As I say and mean from the very depths of my heart, look to Jesus Christ. He is the hope of the world. And if you look to Him, He'll help you find hope along the journey.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. If you would like to know more about Hope Along the Journey, or if you would like to make a donation to show your support and appreciation for this ministry, then visit our website at hopealongthejourney.org. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you'll join us again for more Hope Along the Journey.